Front Page Dramas present Jail for the Model Wife. This week's Front Page drama, Jail for the Model Wife, is a dramatization of a true life story of the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This is the story of a model wife, a true story, but a most pathetic one. One that will provide a most unusual case history for the professional psychologists and psychiatrists. But let us give you the facts in this most unusual case. Frederick Barnes has everything in life to make a man happy. A model wife devoted to her husband and daughter. A nice little home in the suburbs. A good position. A fairly secure future. Inside his home, everything was peace, contentment, and tranquility. But on the outside, there was something that was casting a shadow of fear across his home. He was very uneasy about a series of daring robberies that had been taking place in the neighborhood. And one evening, as he sat before the fire in his cozy living room with his wife and daughter...
Yes, goodness gracious. Another robbery in this neighborhood again last night. What can the police of this city be thinking of to let things like this go on unchecked? What are we paying taxes for?
Now, Dad, don't you think that's all upset? You see, now for your dinner, you ruin your digestion.
Something to get excited about. We're paying taxes to support a police force to be vigilant, to protect human life and property. If they are unable to do the job themselves, they should be public servants enough to admit it and call in help from Scotland Yard.
Well, I read about it, Dad. And if you'll just have the patience to read on a little more, you find out that there's been something wrong about it. The bodies are being told to catch the criminal. There's going to be a shake-up in the police department.
You think so? Well, it's about time. Here's to me, it should be a simple matter to catch the thief. In the first place, every robbery has taken place right within 2 or 3 feet of this very house. It shouldn't be hard to get enough policemen to cover this little area. And in the second place, the burglar has always entered either the front door or one of the downstairs front windows. That's proof enough to tempt the fool. But we should keep their attention centered on the front of the houses.
Dad, goodbye. You sound like Sherlock Holmes. One of those master detectives in the penitentiary. Never mind him, Alice. Let him have his day. Isn't often your father is this talkative. He generally nods off to sleep behind his evening paper 5 minutes after dinner.
Well, thank you, madam. Well, now, as I was saying, it ought to be simple to catch the burglar. In the third place, he steals nothing but jewelry. Always leaves the money, silverware, and valuable bric-a-brac untouched. All they have to do is search the pawn shop.
Well, if you finish reading the article, Father, you'll find that's one of the most dazzling phases of this case. The robberies have extended over a period of 3 months. Yet after a careful search of all the pawn shops, second-hand jewelry dealers, and fences, I think that's what they call people who buy stolen things, the police have not recovered one single piece of his stolen jewelry.
Well, in spite of that, there's another good clue to burglar's habit. The robberies, as far as can be ascertained, have all taken place around midnight, or very shortly thereafter.
Well, Dad, I don't know why it's upsetting you, sir. After all, we're quite safe. You and Mother both never have gone in for jewelry. You wouldn't get rich on the swag you found in our house. My mother never wears anything except her engagement and wedding rings, and they're too old-fashioned and plain to attract anyone.
Well, that's as it should be. Your mother's always been very sensible about such things. Well, not that I have ever denied her anything, have I, Mother?
Oh, no, dear. Since that time and again, I've had to warn you, especially at Christmas, my birthday, and on our wedding anniversary. Oh, don't misunderstand. I know you're not stingy, Dad. It's just that Mother has always been very plain in her face.
Well, if that robber ever does make a mistake to pay us a visit, he'll get a warm welcome, I can assure you. I don't go to bed and die like a lot of other people. First little sound and I'm up like a top, mind alert, ready for action.
Don't I know it? A few times I've tried to sneak in a bit late. He's nabbed me before I hit the first piece.
Your father's an awful light sleeper. A few times I've had to get up when I've had a touch of insomnia. Or to put an extra cover on your bed. He's awake no matter how hard I try to slip out without disturbing him.
Yes, a good thing. But I still can't get over this case. Evidently, the burglar is very well acquainted with these houses he robbed. He seems to be able to put his hands right on everything he wants. It says here that he never upsets or ransacks the place. Oh, jolly well queer. That's what it is. Jolly queer.
Well, now that that's settled, suppose we get on something a little more pleasant. Who's going to win the football cup final, Jim?
The following week, after a lull in the robberies and several false arrests, a detective and a constable saw a woman force an entrance in a front door of a house in the next street to where the last robbery was committed. After the woman had entered the house, the constable went around and quietly gave the signal, while the detective crossed the street and awaited the woman's return. He had barely time enough to take up his post when the woman emerged from the house. Quickly, the detective seized her.
Let me go. Let me go, please. Please let me go.
Not so fast, old lady. Well, we've got no place under you. Hand it over now and don't make any fuss.
No. No, I have nothing. Let me go. Let me go.
Let me have that first. You've got to go, I go. Hand it over now. I'll have to get blood.
Yes. Thank you. Now let me go. Let me go, please.
Wait a minute.
Please,
wait a minute.
Please,
wait a minute.
Let me go. Please.
Happy. All good. Yeah. So you're the one that's been causing us all the time, huh? You're a nice, respectable woman like you.
Please let me go. Let me go. Let me go home.
What's your name? Where do you live?
Please let me go. Oh, don't tell my husband. Let me go, please.
Hey, you're a queer one, you are. Now then, tell me your name and where you live.
I'm Mrs. Debbie Barnes. I live at 17 Glencoe Road.
17 Glencoe Road, eh? Well, that's right around the corner. No wonder you fooled. No wonder you knew this neighborhood so well.
Oh, please don't take me home. Please don't tell my husband. Oh, please don't.
Hold on there, not so fast. Now, not so fast. Mighty clear business. At least looking into it. Come along. You're going to see your husband.
Oh.
I'm taking you home first. I'm glad to find the rest of the job. Now, come along quietly.
I'm coming. Don't knock the door down. Who is it? Who's there?
The police. Open in the name of the law.
Mother, what in the world?
Then this is your wife. You are Frederick Barnes?
Certainly. What does all this mean? What are you doing with my wife? Mother, what's happened?
Perhaps you'd better come in and explain.
Yes. Please, do come in. Come in. Here, let's go in the parlor there.
Mother,
quiet, dear. I don't know myself. Something's happened to Mother.
Nothing.
This gentleman here is from the police.
Now, just a minute, miss. This has been a bit difficult. And what I have to say is going to be, well, it's going to be a bit of a job. So let's all sit down and be quiet.
Very well. Now, let's do as the gentleman says. Sit down. Go ahead, sir, please.
Right. I arrested your wife not a quarter an hour ago, Mr. Barnes. She was charged with housebreaking and burglary.
What?
We saw her break into the home of Mr. Sidney Parsons on Broad Green Road. We let her go in, and in a very few minutes, she was out again. She had this in her possession. Jewelry from the Parsons home. She has also confessed to the seven other robberies committed in this neighborhood.
Good heavens, Mother, is it true?
Yes, sir. It's true. Oh, dear.
Dear, what? Why did you do it?
I just had to, Fred. I had to see it. Something funny deep down inside me made me do it.
But why, Mary, why?
Fred, I don't know. I felt so terribly deep down in my soul.
Oh, Mother dear. Never mind,
dear. I've had to handcuff her. If you agree to keep the handcuff on, I'll let the daughter go into the bedroom, so you can lie down until you settle it.
Yes. It's off the time. It would be better, thank you. Alice, you take your mother to the bedroom. I will lie down.
Yes, sir.
And Mother, you go with Alice. Be quiet until I get to talk to the gentleman.
Come along, Mother, dear. Everything will be all right. Dad will make everything right.
Oh, what is this? Don't worry about it, does it?
Yes, sir. I think it's terrible. Even if it's grief won't take you away. I'm sure Mother must have been ill to do a thing like that when I was
Just go along now, dear. Go with her, Mother.
I'm very sorry to say, sir, we'll have to take her to the police station and book her. As soon as I talk to you. She has admitted all the robberies and told me where she has hidden the rest of the jewelry. Down in the cellar, she said. Buried in the far end of the coal room. I'm afraid, sir, it'll be a prison thing.
Well,
but under the circumstances, she will probably be put in the prison hospital for observation.
It's a terrible thing for me, sir. After years of hard work, I'm beginning to look forward to an easier life. That can do. I can't save my life, of course. You could never imagine a quieter, more home-loving woman, thoroughly devoted to me and our daughter. She's not the gay, giddy sort, fond of going out and that sort of thing. No, it's been 2 years. We haven't seen any happy together.
And there's no doubt in my mind, Mr. Barnes, that it's simply a case for the doctor, not a drug.
Must be some terrible mental reaction to an illness she had 3 years back. She had a serious operation. She had the blood transfusion to keep her alive. That's the only thing I can think of that's set her mind. She sometimes complains to be her head pain.
Yes, I'm sure that must be the cause. And now, Mr. Barnes, if you don't mind, let's see if we can find the rest of the jewelry and things.
In the cellar, buried under a heap of coal, the detective found over $2,000 worth of stolen jewels. He had never sold a piece or even worn any or kept it to look at. He had merely collected it. For what purpose? Only a competent psychiatrist could explain. At the quarter sessions in Liverpool, England, where the same case was tried, the poor demented woman was sentenced to 6 months in jail. The sentence to be served in the observation ward of a prison hospital. You have just heard a radio dramatization of Jail for the Model Wife, a true life story of the same name which appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Front Page Dramas present So He Married the Queen's Niece. This week's Front Page Drama, So He Married the Queen's Niece, reads like an Horatio Alger story that used to delight our fathers when they were boys. Our hero is Kenneth Harrington, a judge's son, who won, lost, and won again the heroine, the Honorable Cecilia Bowes Lyon, daughter of Lord Glamis and niece of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth of England. Our hero, Kenneth, met Cecilia in Scotland during his summer vacation, and they became very much attached to each other. When Cecilia returned to her home in the south of England, young Kenneth paid frequent visits there, and finally in the spring of 1934, he asked for her hand in marriage. Cecilia's parents discussed the young suitor's prospects.
Well, my dear, do you have any objections to their engagement?
No, dear. Young Kenneth is a very fine young chap. I do wish, however, he was a little better off financially.
Yes. His father, Sir Richard, is a very able judge. Before the war, £3,500 a year, and able the man to maintain a good position in society.
Yes. This terrible, expensive post-war day made up a fortune. Poor Sir Richard had very little to leave his boys.
Mm.
young senator only had a little better position, myself. The boy's job at the legation is a very honorable one. The only difficulty is it doesn't pay anything. The money the boy has just keeps him in clothes.
Of course, it's splendid training, and eventually leaves you a very excellent post.
So,
but in the meantime, well, it's going to be rather difficult.
At present, they only wish to announce their engagement. They haven't said anything about an early marriage.
Yes. And perhaps for the time they ought to be married, young Kenneth will be better off.
I wish it could do something for them. This wedding to young Prince George just about set me. Very nice having one sister marry royalty, but it's a jolly expensive honor. It's getting deucedly difficult to keep our end.
Yes, my dear. It is rather awkward to have such a fine young speaker, yet one so pure.